And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down to some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. I mean, it goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there. For what we now love recalling Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, it's that time of the week. You know the deal. We have regular events throughout the week. One of them scattered in onto a Thursday. Thankful Thursdays, we have two people who come in who are very much a part of the fabric and the family of the show. So without further ado, let me make some introductions. She's rocking, she's rolling, she's opinion extolling, she's a dynamic duo diva of political punditry. Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I'm here. I love that introduction.
And then with words of wisdom and incisive insight, slicing like a hot knife through butter, that'd be Butters. Are you there?
I'm a little not sure what to say with those intros. That's awesome.
Yes. Pronounce a quorum. Give me some whoop-whoops for Butters and Lee. A little too quick on the bad.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. All right, guys, you know the deal. I ask a question first round, you ask a question second round. So here's my question. It's hot news. It's all out there right now, and people don't know what to think of it. National Security Advisor Michael Waltz, former Green Beret, former member of Congress from Florida, Republican. He's been the National Security Advisor for Trump for 100 days. Reports are that he has now been let go. Some were saying it was a firing, but then it was announced just in the last hour that he's going to be, he's been nominated to serve as the ambassador to the United Nations. So was it a firing? Was it a lateral move? What are your thoughts? Lee, you first.
Okay, my thoughts on this one are that he was definitely fired, but in the sense of they tried to cushion the blow with another job, which is, you know, the UN. So, ambassador to UN. So, but the thing is that he, and I heard you say earlier, you felt like, oh, he owned the responsibility. I say yes and no. Yeah, he said, oh, this came from my department. But then again, they're going to find out anyway where it came from. But I think that he probably should have resigned at that point. That may have been truly accepting responsibility. But it could have also been a call from the Trump admin not wanting to give the leftist press, you know, a win, a pound of flesh, if you will, taking out one of their appointed people so soon. So they may have, this may all have been kind of planned to exit that way, but yes. And I'm thinking it's also the guy below him that got fired that may have been the true little, worm.
Yes. So you think, so basically you're saying you believe he was let go for cause and yet they cushioned the fall.
Yes.
Okay. Butters, what say you?
So after watching some of the interviews of some of the other staffers, like from the Pentagon, that were removed or let go, and then some of the interview that Glenn Beck did with the president, I think it peels back a little bit to go, there's dysfunctionality. It's not as perhaps as well oiled as what they gave off when they came in. I think the president basically said, like, there was so much to do and we were just doing it. And I think it came across as a well-oiled machine. I think now, it's just, they're human beings involved in an organization and they've got some disruptions and they're working through it, and good on them for at least making a change and not just sticking their head in the sand.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point. You and I were talking earlier, at the very least, what we appear to have is an administration that will actually apply accountability to its own people. I mean, you didn't see anybody lose a job or be asked to resign in the Biden administration, like, ever. It would not surprise me to find out that he tendered his resignation and Trump said, well, I'm going to accept it, but I'm going to send you over here. I mean, I don't know. That may have happened. Who knows? Then again, he may have said, no, please, Mr. President, no. And then he got another job. So
I definitely still think that most of these guys, they're doing things for the right reasons. Even if they may be doing them wrong, or that they still don't have a whole bunch of people that are just there to move up the ladder is what I mean. You know, they're still trying to do the right thing for the country.
But but the stakes are so high. I mean, there's going to be room for error. You got to have some measure of room for error. Perfection is never going to be a thing, but there's the stakes are still really, really high. Lee, any final thoughts on that?
I agree with all of that. I just think notice who didn't have a soft landing, and that's who I'm looking at, which is the underling.
Yeah.
And I think he was probably the true problem in all this, but there just had to be some heads on the chopping block.
Yeah, we'll see. Unless of course that guy is going with him. Who knows? But all right, question number dos. So Trump is speaking. He's here in Alabama today. He's speaking at the University of Alabama's commencement for graduation this evening. Coach Nick Saban is also addressing the crowd, so they'll be on stage together. Tommy Tuberville, we have it on good authority, is flying down with the president. So here's my question. Are we about to hear a Trump endorsement of Tuberville for governor, or are we going to hear about a Saban endorsement of Tuberville for governor, or are we going to hear about Saban running for U.S. Senate? There's my questions. Butters, you first.
Well, first, War Eagle. second,
War Eagle, I celebrate.
Yeah, JP's the in-depth sports guy, so I don't know, all the political leanings of Saban. I'm honest, I'm a little surprised that he's getting tied up into this rigmarole. It definitely leaves a little room for me to go, I wonder what's going on. As far as endorsing for governor, he hadn't even officially announced yet.
So. He hasn't, but
I could totally see Trump going, yeah, he'd make a great governor, don't you guys think? And getting the crowd hyped up.
I could see that. I could see that. But what do you think? Is Nick Saban going to endorse Tommy Tuberville for governor?
Not at today's ceremony.
Lee, what do you think?
I think that Trump could definitely endorse him, or at least suggest that he would be a good governor. For sure, I could see that. Saban, no, not as much. He's Democrat leaning, so I doubt it. I don't even know if he'd endorse him, period. And it has nothing to do with rivalry. It's just they don't exactly fall within the same party. But Saban's very important to the school and, believes in doing things for Alabama, so I definitely understand why he's there. But I do think Trump will, if Tuberville shows, that he would do that, yeah.
Okay, so what do you think, though, about Saban ever running for an empty Senate seat if Tuberville vacates?
Why would he? No, he doesn't want that. No. I mean, he's done everything he's wanted to do, and now he's got these lucrative contracts, and, he's got his gigantic house, which is primary residence, by the way. So I think that would be a problem in Florida. So, no, I don't see it.
I bet he's got a heck of a trophy room. What Butters, what you got?
So can we unpack that, some that was said, just a little?
All right, what?
Okay, so Saban, he's a Democrat, wouldn't endorse. Are we at a point where we talk a lot about, what does the R really mean, these days in Alabama? And it's a little... is it something that is Saban a guy that's like, no, he'd be a good leader, regardless of what party he runs for. I believe in what he does and his decision-making.
Have to run on party, though. You're not going to run as an independent. Even a Nick Saban can't run as an independent.
Oh, no. I mean, in terms of the endorsement for Tuberville. Sorry, I should have prefaced that. Saban endorsing Tuberville because he thinks he's a good leader.
He's inherently not political. He never has been. I just don't see it.
You're right, and my recollection, I could be wrong, JP can chime in if he wants to, but my recollection is he has never branded himself per se, and he's never gotten out there and vocalized a whole lot about politics, but he has been on the side of some issues that are more left-leaning, like COVID stuff.
The only reason people say that he's a Democrat is because, his home state of West Virginia, he's endorsed Joe Manchin, which is now...
That's right, but he and Joe Manchin were high school, they were college buddies.
He's very good friends with Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
Joe Manchin is now an independent. So if I were to guess on Saban's political leanings, it would be old school Democrat. But also, I agree with Lee, he's not going to touch politics with a 10-foot pole.
Unless it's NIL.
I bet I'll be all over that. In fact, there was actually an article today saying that Tuberville was hoping to get a few minutes to talk with Trump and Saban together about NIL and some reforms. I personally don't think that Nick Saban is a Democrat. I think he's a guy who just eschews politics and is loyal to his friends. And so if it came out later that it was good for business, so to speak, for him to say, Tommy Tuberville's my friend, we've known each other for years, I think he'll make a great governor. I think he would do that if the relationship, as long as he has no prohibitions in his contract with ESPN. But I think that he would do it if that was his relationship. I don't think he'll do it because he's a Democrat or he's a Republican. I think that he's beyond that.
I got to believe if he is a Democrat, he's a Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr. Democrat. Just would do the right thing.
You mean a moderate Republican?
Exactly. That's what we're saying. the kind where you really can't tell what they are until they announce that they've been approved by a party to run for office.
But also, can I just say one more thing?
Sure, why not?
I don't think he's going to hijack the commencement speech to get any attention
to
him.
No, I don't think he is.
It will be a classy, you know, congrats to the grads.
Point. Yeah.
Thanks, President, for coming, and that's it. I think that's all it will be.
Yeah. The question will be, if Trump stands up there and says, where's Tommy? Where's Tommy? Tommy would make a great governor. Nick, don't you think so? And if Nick smiles and nods his head, yes, that alone is an endorsement.
Yeah, that is, it can be taken that way. I agree.
All right, that's round one. That's some serious speculations right there. Round one, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We come back round two. Flip the script. They ask me questions. We'll see how I do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. All right, so here we are. Round two of Butters and Lee. This is where we flip the script and they ask me a question, any question, and I just hope I have an answer. So I'm going ladies first. Lee, what have you got?
So kind of playing off the last question we were discussing, what do you think is going to be the down ballot implication of move to governor if, in fact, I mean, I think it's a certainty at this point, but, you know, you've got Ainsworth, who's been looking at that for a long time and now probably feels like he wants to kick something. And, you know, how does that look for his seats he's leaving and the other races? Are we going to get a lot of hardcore conservatives? I mean, what does it look like to you?
Okay, so you're talking about overall, like what happens if we see the Tuberville governor's race?
For the domino.
Okay. Yeah. I think that Ainsworth right now is very seriously considering a run for the U.S. Senate, but he's got his hands full because I think Steve Marshall is also, and I would not be a bit surprised to see if somebody who has, you know, is well-heeled with a lot of money and good standing in the business community also steps in. I think you're going to see a real race for lieutenant governor, which right now is Wes Allen, Secretary of State. I hear that Rick Pate, who is the current ag commissioner, is considering moving off of his governor's potential to running for lieutenant governor. And I've already got two or three other names that I'm not at liberty to talk about yet that I think would be strong candidates. So there's that. And then every, believe it or not, except for treasurer, every statewide office in Alabama, with the exception of Katie Britt's seat, is up. Like with no incumbent, there's going to be open seats across the board. So I think you're about to watch a primary season that is unlike any we've had in a generation here in Alabama. And it's because they're all open seats and they're all statewide. Then on top of that, you got every legislative race all at one time. So you're going to have a few members of the legislature going to feel their bones and think they can move up to something else. We'll wait and see. I think also, by the way, one of the strong potential candidates for running for the U.S. Senate seat is Congressman Dale Strong. That's being talked about quite a bit right now. He hasn't been in Congress very long, but he's certainly been around for a while. The question is, does he have the statewide name ID to get out there and get it done? I don't know. So anyway, there's my painting of the dominoes. The end result is, Lee, it's going to be a cattle call. It's going to be just a complete free-for-all.
Can't wait.
It's going to be something. If you're a political hack like us, you've got plenty to watch, and it's going to be a target-rich environment for a talk radio show, I can tell you that.
I would like to make a quick plug for local community. I know we've got some mayors and city council member elections that are going to be coming up in the next 12 to, you know, so much.
Yeah, and those
well.
Runoff
so
cycle, those will be during an August time frame, generally speaking. But yeah, that's certainly in fact that's where you draw your future governors from, as mayors and stuff like that. So it's absolutely gotta be looked at. All right, Butterman, for our run out of time, what do you got for me question wise?
So we talked about NIL.
Yeah.
And so this high school NIL mumbo jumbo. I haven't looked into it too deep because I'm just not sure I've got the stomach for it. What are they talking about? What is going on with this? What is this craziness?
Well, first of all, I will say that my personal opinion is that college sports is being absolutely ruined by NIL and the portal. Those two things. Kids no longer ride for the brand. They no longer grow up with the dream of playing for that team. I mean, there are some that will and some that still do, and there are programs they want to be a part, legacy, like University of Alabama or Auburn. You may be a legacy kid who grew up and you watched it, or you had a family member who was in it, and that's the only place you want to go. But what's happening right now is there is a complete destruction to the idea of joining something bigger than yourself, because NIL and Portal makes it all about yourself. And that's ruining team sports in the NCAA. The high school piece is equally nauseating, if not more so. Number one, we don't allow kids that age to even drink, join the military, or get a Costco card. They can't enter into contracts on their own. They can't make medical decisions, most of them. And they're not allowed to sign contracts to, like, buy a car on their own. And yet we're going to say that we can do NIL for high school, and yet the High School Athletic Association doesn't even let a private school recruit kids just to play, much less to pay. So I think if they go down high school route with NIL money, you're going to watch basically what I call, you're going to watch the farm league. Every high school and college is going to become the farm league of the other.
Well, and maybe because I didn't grow up in Alabama, I'm a little unsure what schools have so much money coming in that spare, because most of, like, I've dealt a lot with the college angle or the high school anglers. I've been in that space, and those guys, they're just trying to get enough money to go play be a part of the sport.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. You got some schools that absolutely do. Look at Hoover. Used to have their own TV show called Hoover U because it was so huge. 7A schools especially are going to be huge. Some private schools are still absolutely huge, especially the Catholic schools like down in Mobile, and some of the ones like John Carroll in Birmingham. You got massive money in the booster clubs. But the other piece of this is you watch, because if NIL becomes a thing, then the legislature will feel like they have to even the playing field, so to speak, and they're going to start giving out NIL monies, and they'll be raising local taxes to fund NIL in high schools, and it's just going to be nauseating, and it can't happen. Can't not happen. There.
Well, if there are any big sponsors with big dollars listening, I've got a high school athlete. And I've got a good attorney. So let's talk.
Well, and that attorney, by the way, is your wife. You're not talking about me, are you?
Oh, either one will do.
Okay. All right. Hey, listen, great round. Good stuff. Butters and Lee, love you both. Thank you much. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back for hour number 3. We'll be right back.